Tribune Tower, Chicago. This is Cap'n Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Bounce to Chris Bryant. Throw to first. Cubs win. The comeback Cubs have done it again. They did not win a game trailing into the ninth all of last year, and they've already done it a couple of times this season. Smiles all around as the Cubs improved to 8-5.
Cubs get it done with a big come-from-behind win last night, down 8-5. They get one in the eighth. They get three in the ninth.
Wow.
Big day for Chris Bryant. Big day for Starlin Castro. And Edwin Jackson picks up the win.
How about that?
Hector Rondon
saved. And Starlin Castro, I think it was in Mark Gonzalez's story, talked about how that was a game they would not have
won a year ago.
Yeah, they would have quit, I think, is what he said.
Yeah, and Addison Russell, the Major League debut, didn't get a hit, but was solid in the field, and just give him some time. He's 21 years of age. Mark Gonzalez, I think he's 21 years of age. He joins us now as well, covers the Cubs for the Chicago Tribune. Gonzo, good morning. How are you, pal?
Hey, Mark.
Am I off probation? I think this is the first time I'm on your show.
What do you mean?
It's okay. It's okay. You haven't forgotten me.
No probation for you. We love Gonzo.
Gonzo, I think I saw Cap tear down the picture behind his desk, so maybe it had something to do with it. I don't know.
That's okay.
You're like, have you seen this man? Don't let him in the building.
Gonzo, let's talk about last night's win. Cubs off to a really good start, and there's just this unbelievable optimism and buzz around the team. You travel with them. What is it like around the club day to day?
I'm very impressed with how this is all blended, with the veterans really accepting the kids. We all know how talented the kids are, but you might come across some teams where there might be some jealousy or feel that these kids have a sense of entitlement, which they don't. And I think the veterans are really helping these kids show the way, but they're so poised and so seasoned for such a young age. You don't have to babysit them, and it's really refreshing to see all these personalities, guys of various ages, blend in so well.
We know more about Bryant because maybe he's been on the scene a little bit longer. Addison Russell, not as much. What would be your impressions of day one about how he handled the attention, how he managed his anxiety, and then how he fits in throughout maybe short term and then where you see him long term?
He handles himself very well. I was around him. Last year he came out to Wrigley in September. I thought the Cubs did a good job of having him, you know, put his foot in the water, check the temperature, and then went off to the fall league. Didn't play that much in the fall league, but he had a really choppy year with a hamstring injury, then getting traded, and he finished the season well. And then spring training, he was just one of the guys. If he wasn't wearing that football lineman's number, you would have thought that he was a seasoned player. So I think adding up all that, he really has hit the ground running. I know he didn't have the greatest day at the plate. He chased some pitches that were low, but that's Liriano. He's going to get you to do that. I think it's his job to really seize at this point. He handles himself well. You saw the last at bat, hit a line drive to shortstop, really smoked if it was right at somebody. Didn't get down on himself. I thought the play he made in the sixth inning, charging the ball and throwing, I mean, that's when the instincts just take over. So I think he's got a shot to earn the second base job, but it's going to depend on how he does the plate and, as Joe Maddon said, how he handles failure as well. I think he took a big step last night.
Joe Maddon also talked, Gonzo, about Javi Baez and said he's getting close. He's probably going to go to Arizona for a little extended spring, get his timing down, and then go back to Iowa. And they're expecting him back on this club in the I'm not going to say tomorrow, but they're not looking at this as 6 months from now. They're looking at this, they'd like him back here before the end of the first half of the season. If that happens and he's playing well in Iowa and comes up here, how do you see this lineup shaking out?
Wow. You know, there's going to be issues as far as where everybody fits, and it's a nice problem to have. I think Javi can play short. He can play second. Hasn't had too much experience at third. I saw him play third in the fall league about 3 years ago. Did okay. But we know Chris Bryant's there. Chris has made some nice plays. He's also made a couple errors It's going to be interesting to see how it all sorts itself out. I could see, and this sounds crazy, but I could see a situation where Russell moves to third, Javi goes to second, and Bryant in left field. That might sound crazy, but I don't think it's out of the realm.
I think that's probably what makes best use of all your versatility, perhaps. And you put Chris Bryant in left field, and you have maybe somebody who could be an above-average left fielder who might be a liability at third base. I don't know how it's going to shake out, but what a nice problem to have, Gonzo. So we were talking yesterday, and I know this is way ahead of ourselves, but maybe not. If Chris Bryant stays, even if it's the scenario you just described, how good can this Cub infield be in comparison to the rest of the league? And if you had to list your top infields in baseball right now, who would they be, and how far away are the Cubs from being on that list?
Well, I think from a potential standpoint and ability-wise, I think they'd be in the top third of baseball, probably maybe breaking into 10. You go around the infield. You know, Chris moves pretty well for a 6'5 guy. He's still got a lot of polish left. Starlin's playing as confidently and as stable as I've seen him in a long, long time, just playing with a lot of confidence, but he's also making the plays with ease. Russell's a work in progress, but I think he's got the athleticism to figure it out. And Rizzo's very good at first base. I wish he'd step more toward balls thrown and reach out and catch balls, but that's a minor thing. I think for the most part, he's okay. There's a lot of room for improvement, but I think right now they're probably in the top half.
We're talking to Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune, who covers the Cubs. He's their beat writer. He's on the road with the club right now in Pittsburgh, on to Cincinnati. Gonzo, when you left spring training, I know I talked with you when I was out there and David was out there. I think you had them, 82 wins? Is that what you had said? Right around 500?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Now that they're off to a very good start, Bryant is here and looks like he's a keeper. Russell is here. What is your – if you had to repick it right now, what would you pick?
I say 85, 86 with an asterisk, and I'll tell you why. If I'm a Cub fan, I'm a little concerned about the bullpen, not so much some of the choppiness lately, but just the residual effect. I think they really miss Grimm and Hendricks right now. I think a lot depends on when they come back and how this current group can really bridge the gap right now. And Joe made a terrific point last night about the sixth inning and how he stuck with Schlitter as long as he could, because you just can't burn out your bullpen at this point. And yet there's a situation where the starter's going to have to pitch a tad deeper, and you're going to have to maybe dip deeper into your farm system to get bullpen help. But I think certainly there's the potential there for them to win at least 86 games and maybe more. You look at the division, you look at the Reds and the Pirates, you might be able to get 28 wins against those two teams, because they're not very – I mean, the Brewers are having trouble, and the Reds is a coin flip at this point. They could go south in a hurry. So against those two teams, we might be looking at 28 wins.
Such a small sample size, Mark, but we've never been around Joe Maddon as a manager of the Cubs and the impact and just the tone that he sets on a regular basis. And you're around the team as much as anybody. I just wonder your early impressions about the impact a guy like that has on the environment and on the culture around the Cubs.
There's a terrific vibe, and he does a really good job of talking to guys 1 through 25 and just checking the pulse of the team. He's also keeping guys sharp. You saw Wellington Castillo got a start last night, got two hits, got a big hit there. It just feels like every guy feels important, but he also steps away and lets them do their thing. He's hands-on in a subtle way, but yet he stays in touch with a lot of guys. You know, he talked yesterday about having a coaching staff meeting. He says they have it twice a month. I mean, I don't know too many managers that do that, just to, you know, check inventory, what the coaches see, but also have the coaches have input, which I think is very important, because I've covered teams where the manager speaks to only the bench coach, and that's about it.
Hey, Gonzo, as we let you go, I think most people in baseball did not see Addison Russell coming up. They knew Chris Bryant would get here. Who's the next guy that you go, whoa, where'd that guy come from? Is it Schwarber? Is it C.J. Edwards? Is it Pierce Johnson, Dwayne Underwood? Who is it?
Well, those are pretty good names, but the guy right now that might be pushing, and this might be a push on my part, but I just saw so much of him in spring training. I really liked him was Albert O'Mara, really driving the ball well. He started off slow last year, but was implementing some things they told him about, and he did a terrific job, and it seems to have a great carryover effect. I think Schwarber's a long ways away in terms of defense, but he certainly can hit. C.J. Edwards could climb quickly in his new role as a reliever. He might be the guy to keep an eye on right now, but I wouldn't rule out O'Mara at some point. For some reason, this guy grew on me even more this spring.
Interesting. What would that be? He'd have to play left field.
Well, right? he's a plus defender for sure.
Do you think they add a huge name player at some point this season? I don't mean some middle reliever that might be crucial, but people go, who's that guy? Do you think Jordan Zimmermann, Cole Hamels, or some other huge name, whatever position it is, do you think that's on the table?
I think it is. We saw how they've brought Brian in. They've brought Russell in, even though they didn't have a long time at AAA. I think they're certainly ramping things up here. The only thing about Zimmermann is he's a free agent at the end of the year, as you guys know. You certainly want somebody who's you're going to be around for a while. If you're going to give up a lot of your farm system, because I think these guys are worth it, but you got to be careful. But I do see them going after a big ticket guy at midseason.
Gonzo, thanks a lot.
Gonzo, keep up the great work.
Take care,
and
guys.
And by the way, even when the Tribune wasn't involved in the TV show over at CSN, you were never on the banned list. Just certain other people.
Okay. Thank you, David.
See you, buddy.
See you, Gonzo.
There he is, Mark Gonzalez.
Was I banned?
The Chicago Tribune.
I have a short memory. I can't remember what I said yesterday. Was I banned at one point? I think I was. Now that
you were,
think about it, yeah.
Billy.
Oh, the irony.
Billy,
look what I'm wearing today.
There you go. In fact, see? TK Gore tweeting how you're the one repping the station.
How about that?
There you go. TK, of course, a VP over at Comcast Sportsnet. Billy in Lockport. I think he used to live in Alaska, and I told you there's a guy who tweets at us that tells me what's going to happen in the Hawks games.
Uh-huh.
He said last night was going overtime, was going to be exceptionally physical. He said Calgary was going to win. He had a pick the other night. The Hawks were going to do whatever it was. The guy's really good, and he's been on hold, so we're going to grab him real fast. Hey, Billy, former Army man, what's going on?
Hey, Billy.
What's going on, gentlemen? How you doing?
We're great.
Trying to get a hold of you.
Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Sorry.
No, it's all good, guys. Hey, you got a show to do. Nothing, you know. I just, I've been tweeting at you. You've seen what I've been doing.
Okay, so what happens tomorrow night in Nashville?
Fill in the rest of us.
Well, you know what's going to happen, man. I don't like to say it. It's going to go six games. So, the Predators are going to lose. I'm sorry, the Predators are going to win by two goals. They're not going to go out, they're not going to go out without a fight. And we're going to come and take it home in game six.
David, you're going down there, right?
Yes.
What are you expecting to have happen?
I think the Predators are going to be a tough out tomorrow night. I'd like to, I think that it'd be in everybody's best interest to get a little rest for the Hawks. They'd like to close it out, but I just don't know.
All right. Billy, who wins tonight? Any big upsets? A lot of hockey.
Oh, Ottawa, because, Montreal's been all over them. Montreal's up 3-0. Ottawa's going to come back with a fury on them and prevent a sweep.
All right, keep us surprised of your hockey knowledge. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks.
All right, thanks, brother.
See ya. There you go. Diehard hockey guy, former military man. We appreciate you watching the show. Hey, FanDuel is changing the way people play fantasy sports. It's more fun than ever. FanDuel.com, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. Entry fees start at just $1. Stop waiting 6 months to win a league. Play today. Win tonight. You can pick a brand new team any day you want. No more dealing with players on the DL. Pick up the hottest players in baseball for your team today. And it's not just baseball. Play NHL and NBA playoff games too. Go to FanDuel.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use the code Kaplan. Sign up. FanDuel paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel matches it up to $200. Gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer only good for the first 50 people today that use that code, K-A-P-L-A-N. Don't forget, use my code Kaplan. Sign up today. It's FanDuel, FanDuel.com. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back And we've got Eddie Olczyk coming in the studio in a few minutes. We've got That's Whack, Bro. And David and I will go through the Bears schedule before we get out of here. It's all coming up. Cap and Haw.
It's Cap and Haw.
They might be sending a few of these Bears to the moon here pretty soon. This is downright embarrassing. This is a proud franchise that's being humiliated so far here tonight.
Chris, in all seriousness, if you're the coach, what's the message you send at halftime here?
Well, I can tell you what Forrest Gregg told us when we were down 21-0 at the Super Bowl in the first half, and he said, boys, you can't screw it up any worse than you already have. Just go out there and give them a shot. And we got pretty close in the second half, so I don't know if you can overcome this kind of deficit against this team, though.
The only thing I'm concerned about right now is getting the heck out of here and getting back to work on Minnesota.
Wow, that was the 42-0 at half last year. That was Chris Collinsworth, Al Michaels, Sunday Night Football, Bears at Packers when they had the emergency meeting in the skybox after the game.
Oh, they denied that that was an emergency meeting, but that was when
that's why they had guards at the door.
That's when the started to become very clear what the Bears are going to do. Their next trip to Lambeau comes on Thanksgiving night, which it may be just as much of a national exposure in every sense of the word. You just don't know where the teams are going to be health-wise at that point, but I think the Packers are going to be ahead of the Bears, and that gap is still going to be significant. The Bears play the Packers at really an ideal time at the beginning of the season.
Yep.
If you're ever going to play a team that you are inferior to, traditionally, season opener is a good time to catch them before they get things going. Strange things happen on season openers. Last year, you remember the Bears opened up Levi Stadium against the 49ers on the road. It was their stadium opener, their home debut. And what happened? The Bears were an inferior team. Now, the 49ers end up
what was the score at the half of that game?
Well, I don't remember.
17-0?
I don't know. But
they were in control.
Yeah. And that – so the point is that if you're ever going to play the Green Bay Packers, you want to do it when they have them at home, the first game. You could steal a victory. That's best case scenario. Don't see it happening as we go through each of these games here. But I think that they're going to start 0-3. Packers, Cardinals on the road against the Seahawks. I just don't see any favors there, any leniency that the NFL schedule makers gave John Fox. It's like, welcome back to the NFC. Here are the three of the toughest teams that you can play. Let's see what you got, Foxy. And we're going to see. And I don't think the Bears defense, it's can be folly, as we've been told, to pick and predict when you don't even have an entire roster and you haven't even drafted anybody. Lighten up. It's
right,
just
teams
fun.
Can go
come
through
on.
Training camp and all of a sudden have a major injury.
We know that.
But that's what
it's
we
April
do.
It's April 22nd.
And a lot of people around
enjoy
the water
it.
Cooler at lunch with their friends today, men and women going, yeah, that's a loss. That's a loss. That's a win.
Yeah.
All right, so first three you have – all losses.
Yeah, I do.
First three, I have all losses.
Raiders, I haven't beaten the Raiders.
I do too.
At the Chiefs, at the Lions, I think those are consecutive losses. Those are two difficult venues. I think that the Bears make their first trip to Kansas City since 2003. I remember that because I was on the beat and almost got arrested by security there. That was.
I remember that.
I can tell you that story.
You have. I remember hearing about that from someone else,
took
too.
Took a wrong turn, and all of a sudden I'm being escorted into the
And who saved
booth.
You?
Jim Crispin.
Yes,
from the
that's
Bears.
What it was. I knew it was one of the
And Jay Mariotti was standing behind me waiting for me to get like handcuffed so he could write about it. I just remember Mariotti lurking. What's going on here? Anyway, that's my memory of Kansas City. I have them losing to the Chiefs and to the Lions. And then I have them winning, beating the Vikings at home November 1st.
I'm in agreement.
Clock's here, bull.
Monday Night Football against the Chargers.
Thank you there,
in San
Coach
Diego. Not a good matchup for the Bears. It's a West Coast. That's one of the two primetime games.
Mm-hmm.
It shows you a lot about what the Bears are expected to be when they're only on primetime twice. I have them losing in San Diego. I have them going on a four-game losing streak, Cap. At San Diego, at St. Louis. Home against the Broncos. You're not beating Peyton Manning there.
And at the Packers.
On Thanksgiving night. They will be thankful only that that day is over. Mm-hmm. and that game ends, because that's going to be an ugly end to a festive day.
Okay, you have them beating the 49ers and the Redskins.
Yeah, back to back. They rally. They greet December. They say, hello, December. We like you. We're going to beat the 49ers, and we're going to beat the Redskins. RG, three and out. If he's even the quarterback at the time. Might be Kirk Cousins.
Okay, you have them losing at the Vikings.
That's up there. December 20th, week. Is that probably week 15?
Okay.
That's week 15. So I think they lose to the Vikings. I can see how that one could go the other way. You don't know what Vikings team you're going to get. Are they going to have Adrian Peterson, or aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to be playing for the Arizona Cardinals? Is he going to be playing for the Cowboys or the Buccaneers? Or is he going to be banned from the league? Who knows?
No ban.
Well, not.
Well, unless something else happens.
Exactly. You don't know. How can you say that?
Let's see. November 27th. No, December 27th.
Christmas
at the Bucks,
in Tampa.
They'll lose that game.
You think so?
Yes.
What makes you so confident? Did Jameis Winston bandwagon pick
you
up, by the way?
Pretty good defense.
Pretty good.
I just think they'll get payback for last year.
I don't think last year has anything to do with this year. I think we make way too much of that stuff.
No, I mean, not payback because they lost. Just they.
You know, Josh McCown's not quarterback in the
Bucs.
Correct.
Bucks. They could have won the game here this year, this past season. I think they win that game. And then you have the Bears beating the Lions here.
Yeah, I think that because by that time, who knows, the Lions might be resting people. And the Bears may be trying to go out with the.
Or the Lions could stink. You never know. It's the Lions.
It's the Lions. They could either stink or be resting people because they have already clinched a playoff.
I'll give them that one. You have the Bears finishing at 6-10.
Yeah.
I have the Bears 5-11.
Well, what game did you go the other way? Oh, you had
Tampa
the Buccaneers?
Yeah.
Tampa down there December 27th. Interesting timing from a holiday perspective. You could see spending a little time in Northern Florida. That could be a nice little getaway.
I might have to
go down there a little bit early, spend a little quality time with Lovey.
When the Cubs win their first playoff game, I will have won our bet. I might take the Florida trip for the column.
Okay, really? All right. You can have lunch with Lovey. You love Lovey. Hey, here's a question. What's going to happen on that Sunday, the 1st of November? Isn't that what kind of leaks into the World Series? Doesn't the World Series leak into November 1st? Is that the weekend for the World Series? Imagine the traffic. Game 7 at Wrigley and the Bears and the Vikings on the lakefront.
Oh, don't get me started.
How are we going to manage that one? Oh, yeah. Just imagine our show Monday morning, November 2nd, Cap. When's the World Series? Can the World Series Game 7 be November 1st?
Possibly.
Imagine our show, even if it's October 31st, Halloween. Imagine our show November 2nd. Bears and the Vikings, Cubs, World Series. Reaction? Oh, my. Would you be able to enjoy the Cubs World Series show if Cutler threw four picks at home against the Vikings? Would you be able to withstand and hold off a rant, a Cutler-like rant,
if
to celebrate
Cubs
the Cubs?
In the World Series?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yes. There's not much Cutler could do other than – Cutler could not ruin that moment for him.
Okay. That's
By good. The way, John Moon Mullen has his picks up at csnchicago.com, mm-hmm. and they are – it's cool. They're filed from a medicinal marijuana shop.
Please
it was
tell
either,
me what they are.
Okay. Here's John Moon Mullen. Moon, I love you, but you have completely lost your mind. Green Bay Packers, game one. Moon's call, Bears win. Arizona Cardinals, Moon's call, Bears lose. They're 1-1. At Seattle, Moon's call, Bears lose. They're 1-2. Raiders, they win. They are 2-2.
Okay.
Lose at the Chiefs.
Who else?
Lose at the Chiefs. Lose at the Lions. Beat the Vikings. Lose at the Chargers. Beat the win at the Rams. Beat the Broncos. Lose at Green Bay. Beat the Niners, the Redskins, the Vikings, the Bucks, and the Lions all in a
He's
row.
He's got him finishing with five straight victories. I
love him. He's insane.
Would hesitate to be that optimistic about a team that is being pieced together defensively with a bunch of guys on prove-it contracts.
You know, we have not even been on the grass yet.
Exactly, Foxy. I'm with you. I'm with you. And when you see him on the grass, you
he's going to go, thank goodness they're paying me a lot of money for this.
You're going to be like, you don't want to, yeah, you don't want to see what you see on the grass. You're not going to like what you see on the grass.
Wow.
I don't know. 10-6 makes a lot of sense to me.
No shot.
That to me seems like a plea to debate. That's embracing debate. That's putting yourself out there just so someone can say, are you serious, Moon? Are you really serious with the 10-6 prediction? All right. Well, you never know.
Never know.
It's the NFL.
By the way, Edzo just texted.
Yeah.
He got home at 2:30 in the morning last night, mm-hmm. and he said, I'll be there in 10 minutes, boys.
That's great.
He's in the lobby. He just pulled in.
Looking Beautiful. Forward to it.
He is a stallion.
He's a trooper. He's traveling today. You know, it's a postseason. It's playoffs.
Eddie Olczyk is a stallion. Most guys would have called and gone, guys, I got to take a rain check. He's so generous as it is. Here he is.
He tweeted at me last night after the game. He said, see you in the studio. I knew he's going to be here. That's great.
Crazy.
So we'll get back to hockey.
Let's grab Kevin in Glenview, Illinois. Kevin, what's going on, Sugar Bear?
Hey, Kevin.
Hi. First of all, I just wanted to thank you. This is the first time I've watched the show, and it's a great show. So thank you for letting me be part of this.
Great.
And,
thanks for calling. Thanks for watching.
I'm with a group of guys here at the Glenview Terrace Rehab Center. We've all gotten hip replacements. And
how about that?
Replacement. And we were all up until 1:30. The place was up for grabs. The nurses were trying to throw Oxycontin at us to get us to go to sleep, but we wouldn't take it. And so it was a great game. And the Hawks don't realize what they do for people in general. When you get to watch something like that, it takes your mind off your pain and your recovery, and just a real joy. And so thank you for having this show, and thanks for the Hawks for winning, and God bless you guys.
Thanks, Kevin.
All the best. You take
Appreciate
care
it.
Of yourself, Kevin. Get healthy.
And hope you don't have to stay up Thank as late you. Tomorrow night.
No, I won't.
See you, buddy.
Bye.
There you go. Kevin in Glenview. So bunch of guys hanging out watching our show with hip replacements.
Dodging Oxycontin from nurses throwing
exactly.
pills at them.
You got some guys fighting to take them, and some guys going out, nope, I need a clear
take
mind
this,
to watch this
take
game.
Take that. And they have somebody scurrying around. I'll take that. I'll
Very
take
cool. 312-235-2525. 312-235-2525. Let's grab one more quick call. Where do you want me to go there, Mikey? We'll go to line four. Tom is in Gary. Hey, Tom, what's going on there, Cookie?
Hey, Tom.
Guys, you guys are awesome. Love the show. I just want to say I'm a huge fan, huge fan. Cap, Paul, love you guys, man.
Thanks.
Thank you.
But let me touch note with you guys. Bears 10-6 with or without color. The new head, Fox, is a proven winner wherever he's gone. Fox is going to do the job. That defense is going to be better than we've seen in the last 10 years.
Wow. Think about what you just said there, Tom. The last 10 years. You're going back to 2005, 2006.
The last time the Bears did well was Urlacher's first five seasons. I don't think the defense, other than Tina Tillman, Urlacher, and Briggs, this defense is going to have us forget about them.
Tom, really appreciate your comments. Really appreciate your interest. But if you're trying to tell me that this defense that we still don't quite know who's going to be the who's going to play linebacker, how they're going to fit together, how about their safety position, if you're going to tell me they're going to be a better defense than the 2005-2006 Bears defense, I have to say I strongly, strongly disagree.
Yeah, you know what? I guess I'm thinking optimistic. But
what'd you have them at last year, Tom?
Last year I had them at 6-10 last year.
Before the season?
Before the season, I didn't predict them to win six games last year.
Interesting.
That's pretty interesting. Thanks a lot for
Thanks,
the call,
Tom.
Bud. Appreciate
watching.
You watching.
Go Blackhawks.
Go Blackhawks. You got it. 312-235-2525 is the phone number. We got to grab a timeout, and then the great Eddie Olczyk will be in our studio after working late into the night. He is a man of his word. Said he'd be here, and he is here. We'll talk Blackhawks hockey with Edzo, the Hockey Hall of Famer, is coming up next. Be right back.
Olchek got to it. Olchek busting at center ice. Comes over the line. Shooting. He scores! Olchek! A shorthanded goal! He just blew right through the defense at center. Coffey couldn't even catch him. Fired it by Fjord on the sixth side.
For all you young hockey players out there, this is Eddie Olchek. Don't do what Cap's doing right now. But kidding aside, you're listening to Cap and Hawk.
Olchek!
And he, a man of his word, after working late into the night, Eddie Olchek is in our studio.
We all did.
That was so awesome. Cap and Hawk continues on WGN Plus, and you're watching live on Comcast Sportsnet. Edzo, great to have you in here.
Good morning.
It was an exhilarating night last night. Scott Darling was magnificent, but I tell you what, Pekka Rinne, tip my hockey helmet. He was awesome.
Yeah. Must have found a plumber somewhere in between.
Because he was leaky.
Yeah, he had been leaky. There's no doubt.
No doubt.
And we hadn't seen that, David. I mean, we talked about it last time when I got a chance to see you up in the press box before the game. Maybe it was during the game. I don't remember. He just had that look about him, and it just wasn't this series. If you had watched Nashville play before the playoffs started, pucks were finding ways to get through him, which we hadn't seen before. And last night he seemed to regain his form, his MVP form, before he got hurt. And the Hawks had some great looks. He made some huge stops. He stopped Desjardins twice in overtime.
What happened on the Hossa one? Where I think it was Saad just elected not to shoot on the 2-on-1, passed it. Did it roll on Hossa a little bit?
You know what it did? It was almost like skipping rocks. He let it go, and it bounced, and then it just – there were two Nashville Predators player there. The first pass was perfect, up and over the first defender, and then a back checker was coming. He had to stick right in the lane, and it was just like skipping rocks. It just, I see the stick, I'm going to jump over it. It goes right to Hossa, and he gets a great chance. Now, in that situation, and we always talk about it, is you'd like to be able to get the throw those shots upstairs, because most goaltenders are going to move laterally. They're going to take away the bottom of the net. So you got to either go up top or hold on to it, let him maybe slide out, and then put it in. But, I mean, it's a bang-bang play. It's a great play all the way around. Just wasn't able to execute, and Rene read that pretty nice.
Eddie, I think this through game four last night, this series has been a testament. First of all, it's been the revelation of Scott Darling.
Yeah.
But I think the other big takeaway is that how it has revealed and reminded us of the depth of the Hawks when they roll four lines. Yeah. And you look at the two moves specifically in the last two games that Joel Quenneville made, Desjardins and Vermette. Both those guys came up big in games three
how
and four.
How good was that for Vermette last night?
Yeah, it was
too,
huge.
By the way.
Said yesterday on STL, he goes, he needs a goal.
Yeah. Just needs one.
That's what
you
said.
Yeah. Is that going to be the thing, the catalyst to let him be the guy that they thought they were getting at the trade deadline?
Well, I mean, I could just speak from being in those skates at one point. You're trying to impress so much, David, when you get to a team and the team that you're going to gives up a first round pick and a high prospect, and it's a contract year, and going to a team that's expectations are one goal and one thing, and it's got to feel awfully good for him and just to gain some confidence and traction. You actually saw, Joel really subtly, and we try to cover the game, obviously, try not to miss anything, I guess is probably the best way to put it, and I do on a nightly basis, but Joel changed the lines up every once in a while. It was almost that shock value, David, where all of a sudden you saw him, Vermette was with Kane and Sharp.
Yeah,
for the first time.
Right,
exactly. Because of the injury to Patrick Kane, and the only reason that the Hawks were able to get Antoine Vermette was because Patrick Kane was on LTI, a long-term injury list. And, those are the things. I mean, as a player, when you know that the coach has confidence in you and you cash in like that, I mean, look, it was a really quick developing play. Michael Roosevelt read that play. I watched game three because I was working in New York, and I came back and watched it. And then last night, he's been good in the last couple of games. Like, he struggled in the first two games, no question about it. But Rosie's come back here in a big way and played well. He made the play on that goal, the first goal. And it was one of those bang-bang plays from the corner right to the front, and Vermette just redirected it. And I think it really caught Pekka Rinne by surprise. But, yes, that type of goal can give a guy a lot of confidence. And you saw Joel use him, and he also had a good night in the faceoff dot as well.
All right, Scott Darling and Rinne, we talked about that, were outstanding.
Yeah.
You've been in I think a double overtime. Couple of, I don't think you ever played
many,
a triple.
Many double overtimes,
okay,
never
so
a triple.
Going into tomorrow's game, uh-huh. Darling hasn't played 60 games where he's, you know, used to this
sure.
grind.
Fair.
Do you consider at all bring? I said to David, if I'm Joel Quenneville, do I bring him in the room and go man to man? Go, dude, I got to know.
No,
man to man,
not at all.
You just
not
play him. You're just
not
him.
A chance. Not a chance. When Scotty Darling got home, he pulled out of the United Center, got on Madison, smiling like a butcher's dog. I'm playing game five in Nashville.
You got to save that one.
No. I'm not for tomorrow. I'm borrowing a line from one of my great partners that I've had in my career, Mike Lang, who does the games in Pittsburgh.
KDKA.
He's Eddie.
I used to listen to him as a little kid.
He's rock solid. You got to. You know what? Just go on that that thing
is
called.
He's still working.
He's a radio voice for the Penguins. You go on that thing called the internet, and you pull up some of the great Mike Lang's
phenomenal on in Buffalo.
Borrow your term, Eddie. That's an A plus term.
That's an A plus. That is sweet.
But not in a million years.
So the physical grind,
not at all.
How much will it affect the players?
I think early it might. I think it might just because of the late night. Just everything that goes with playoff. You know, going with playoff hockey, and but you know, guys will have a full day off today, a travel day, have a pregame skate tomorrow, and then get ready for one of those 8:30 starts again.
You mentioned a couple of the subtle things and changes. It's hard to keep track of them during a game with Joel, the way he juggles the lines. But I thought last night we saw the confidence you tend to see every year in the postseason in Brian Bickell.
Yep.
He was playing a more prominent role in the second line.
And he got bumped up there with Richards and Kane. And that line, that line was a difference last night, a difference maker it was.
And you wonder if they go into tomorrow night – trying to recapture that or continue that, and Versteeg maybe bumped down or maybe even not.
Well,
in the
lineup. Versteeg was, he was bumped down. And again, I mean, it's all about feel. We've had these conversations for years now here with Joel, and he just has the ability to be able. He has the ability to be able to get lines together. It at least a couple of times over the course of the season. Now you take Vermette out of it because he wasn't here. Everybody's played with everybody pretty much, David, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and guys are very familiar with everybody, and at any time that you can see a different combination. But I thought that the Bickell-Richards-Kane line had some good jump. I think this was the best that Richards and Kane have looked together in this series, 5-on-5, most importantly, because they don't get out there very often in 4-on-4. Richie's not going to be out there in 4-on-4, and then on a power play, Kaner's on that first unit. So I thought that line did a great job. Hopefully everybody's eyes were still open there after the celebration because we showed the replay on it. Nashville had complete control of the puck, and Brad Richards came over and had a great angle and stripped the puck, and then Patrick Kane supported it. They got the puck in deep, and then eventually it worked itself out back to the point, and Bickell standing in front of the net. And, you know, watching the replay again this morning, it looked like that puck, it certainly dipped and dove to Rene's right, and I don't know if it went off of one of the Nashville Predators. It doesn't matter, but those type of things happen in a playoff game.
As you say,
when
get the puck to the net.
Yeah, and there's sometimes, you know, people will wonder, and I'll ask me. I mean, it seems to a lot of people is that, well, no kidding. Well, you don't see it as much as you think you should because guys are always trying to look to make a better player if they're thinking, well, if I'm 45 feet out, if I can advance it 25 feet on an angle, maybe give that guy a better opportunity. And it's a mindset, and sometimes you get stuck in that. But it was a heck of a play by that line. And again, Brent Seabrook, the OT hero at the United Center.
All right, we got to take a quick time out. Eddie Olczyk, kind enough to come in the studio before he heads to Nashville. Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV adapter in Glenview. The Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come in to app today and see the complete selection of Samsung electronics. Or call them, 847-544-2228, 847-544-2228 for complete satisfaction, free delivery, and a better experience. Shop where we shop. It's apt, A-B-T, app.com, pleasing people since 1936. Quick time out. Edzo in the studio. Be right back.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap'n Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
The official Blackhawks road watch for Game 5 is Thursday at Harry Carey's. I'll be in Rosemont. I'll do it as good as you, partner, or my brother, Randy Olchek, by the way. Does a great hairy chick.
Holy cow!
The great Eddie Olchek is in our studio. It's Cap'n Haw.
That was pretty weak, by the way.
Well, at least you admitted it, and later when Pat did a really spot-on Harry, you brought attention to
it. Well, hey, you know what? You got to... Sometimes you got to lay it out there, and it might take a little
bit
of criticism.
Harry was very good.
Oh, yeah.
He does he does a very good
Harry.
I'll
tell you what, my brother Randy is actually still goes to Halloween parties with his wife, Kim, but he's gone as Harry Carey, I think, for like 15 of the last 20 years. So Chicagoland Commercial, by the way, if you need real estate, Randy Olchek. So,
there you go. Yeah. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I got two younger brothers. Yeah, my brother Ricky, assistant general manager with Carolina.
Right. Used to be in Edmonton.
With the great Ronnie Francis, and then my brother Randy.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Edzo's in our studio. So let's talk a little bit about the defense last night. I thought, correct me if I'm wrong, because I know you will, I thought Kimo Tiemann played pretty well last night.
Yeah, I did. He's played.
And I thought Roosevelt was really good.
I think we talked about it on a show yesterday on STL. I mean, I think Kimo's. I think he's looking more comfortable, and you're going to need those guys. I mean, you're gonna need those guys to go out there and kill some minutes for you. And like I said, I thought Roosevelt played the last couple of games. And when I watched the games. When I see games in person and I'm watching, and I don't say evaluating, but certainly seeing and getting a feel for how guys are playing, it's much different in person for me than it is on television. You know, you don't see the behind the play and how things are going. But, I think for the most part, Kimo has kind of looked very comfortable here, and the Big Four have played, very well.
You can think of plays that stand out for the Big Four, each guy. Obviously, Seabrook had the game winner. Oduya's diving. Save.
Yeah, that was on Stahlberg.
How about Victor Stahlberg?
Yeah.
He played out of his mind last night. Yeah. And I heard Pat say to you, I've never seen Victor Stahlberg play like this.
Yeah, he was skating. He was physical. He got some really good chances in that game, David. And, Victor Stahlberg, I mean, when he was here, everybody wanted him on the top line. And he got an opportunity to play with Taves and Kane or whoever it was at that particular time. And, I mean, his stats were awful. I mean, he just wasn't productive. And he got a really good look. And all of a sudden, he'd go to a fourth line, and, he'd have 8 goals, 10 goals, whatever it would be. And, people will go, well, he should be up there. He can skate. You got to know who he's playing against. When you're a fourth liner, you're out there against other teams' fourth lines, and you're out there against the other team's third set of defensemen. You're not out there against Weber and Chara and Doughty. I mean, that's why when you look at star players and they get the points they do, like Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, Marian Hossa,
against
go on
the
and
best.
On. They go out there against the best defensive guys. So it's not easy. I mean, it's not easy to do that. But, I mean, Victor had a really, really strong game last night. He's had a good series. But the physical part, to me, was very noticeable in that game. And one last thing I mentioned a couple of times is that Peter Laviolette, head coach of Nashville, he only played 11 forwards pretty much in overtime. He gave that youngster Fiala maybe 3 shifts in overtime, and that's a lot of hockey for 11 forwards to keep rolling them over, and he had to kill some penalties. So something to keep an eye on moving forward and see if Fisher gets back in the lineup.
Who else stood out? They're playing without Fisher. They're playing without Weber, so you have to take that into consideration. Seth Jones.
Yeah.
Explosive.
Yeah.
And he just has a gear that looks like it's hard for anyone to keep up with when he gets in that gear. The only other thing I compare it to last night when I saw the Hawks is that Brandon Saad, when he got away, sometimes his speed stands out so much, but Seth Jones is just a powerful, powerful player.
I think the best way to put it, David, is how many players do we see have that are able to pull away from Marian Hossa? Not many. I mean, if any.
He's ridiculous.
And Jones did that a couple of times. Let's see, TV going right to left. I remember a couple of times when he was going this way. He's a strong guy. He's still raw. Obviously, he has an athletic family. And he's a guy that is going to be able to log more and more minutes. But you're right, the skating ability is his escapability. Is something pretty special, and he's been an impact in the series. And they've asked him to do a lot more now since the injury to Weber.
Great Eddie Olczyk, the U.S. Hockey Hall of Famer, is in our studio here. Hawks 3-1 series lead back in Nashville tomorrow night. And Eddie will have the call with Pat on Comcast Sportsnet. And you can listen to John and Troy on WGN. I think into the third overtime, three penalties in overtime. Andrew Shaw slash the delay a game for flipping it out and the trip. I think those were the only three, correct? Did you agree with all three calls?
Well, the one where the one where Forsberg, it's a no-brainer.
But
yeah,
the other two.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
The Shaw
penalty. I mean, Shaw was asking for the penalty. That bothered me. That was blatant.
Was that just losing his cool a little bit or trying to make a play?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're trying to get some position there. And guys, you know, guys cross sticks all the time. I mean, yeah, it was probably, I mean, you know, you get to that time in the game and, you know, I mean, it, your brain becomes like mush and you just, sometimes you don't think, you know. But, I mean, yeah, it's not the right play, but you know what he was trying to do in that situation, but he just can't make
that
play.
What do you like physically, two overtimes? He played football. I played those sports. I never played hockey. What is it like in the first overtime, in the second overtime? What is your body
and
like?
What are you eating in between periods?
Well, Seabrook talked just about oranges.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you got fruit, you got, you know, you have power bars. I mean, sometimes, I mean, I've seen, I mean, I just remember a couple of games that I had played in. I mean, you know, you had pizza sitting there if you wanted to have a little bit of taste. I mean, because for the most part, just take people through the day. I mean, those guys, it was an 8:30 start last night. So the pregame meal or the opportunity, most guys are going to eat probably 6-plus hours before the game, probably, maybe even more.
What would you eat before a game?
Usually I was a chicken and pasta type of guy, maybe a little bit of potato and maybe finish off with a little soft serve ice cream. But that was just, you know, if things were going well, I'd make sure that I would stay with the soft serve. But, but you know, guys are eating 6-7 hours before and then they might have a little bit of a snack before. But all of a sudden now, I mean, you're going, okay, just say 2 o'clock and now it's 12 o'clock. I mean, you got to hydrate.
Starving.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you know, whether it's fruit or power bars or whatever else it might be, I mean, you have that. I mean, bagels, whatever it is. So, I mean, those guys are well taken care of. But, you know, sometimes it just takes the edge off.
IVs?
I've seen it with particular players in like when it's late in the year and the building gets really hot and guys are sweating and just – got to just make sure that you are hydrating. So, I mean, I've seen it in game in between.
You ever
periods.
Had to do it?
I have not. No, not in a game. No.
Did it surprise you that Patrick Kane was used as often as he was late?
Well rested, David.
Well, he is well rested, but you wonder. So there's the rust factor is no longer.
No,
a factor.
I don't think so. I think he is. He's found his. I think he's found his swagger. Mm-hmm. And I think you certainly saw that from Joel.
Night.
He did. Yeah. He did. And I think you saw that from Joel, is that he kept bumping him and double shifting him and giving him an opportunity. But, you know, you guys are well rested. And, you know, a guy like Patrick Kane's, you're going to have him out there in every situation possible.
All right. Can we take a few calls before we spring?
Let's go.
All right. We'll get some calls for Edzo. 312-235-2525. 312-235-2525. Blackhawks, a 3-1 stranglehold on the Preds. Game 5 tomorrow night in Nashville. Edzo will be on the call with Pat Foley on CSN. We'll be right back.